Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Santy Time Podcast, where no matter if it's Eastern Time or Western Time or Pacific Time, it'll always be Santy Time. Once again, returning guest, Rachel Walsh from the two-parter horror tier list episode. But we're not doing another tier list. This time, we are doing a film discussion on Adam Wingard's You're Next. Rachel, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here talking about a single movie this time.
Single. Yes, one movie. One movie. Yes, one movie and not a lot. So not the entire horror genre, like per se. But so usually before I start an episode, I would like to get into some pop culture news. But considering that there has been like an overwhelming amount of movie news that has come out from the past week, I'm not really gonna get into all of that because I mean, to talk about them, like we've had so many like teaser trailers come out, a lot of movie news coming out, like having like the released photos from Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. We have a Mario Galaxy trailer. What else? I'm trying to think. Oh, SS Rajamouli is apparently coming out with a new movie this month. Not sure if it's coming to theaters like in a few weeks, but like I think it's coming out in India first, and I don't think there's gonna be a release until early 2026. So I'm estimating like a January or February release, but like who knows? And if you don't know, SSS Rajamouli directed the directed the breakout 2022 film RRR RRR. So yeah, and which I haven't seen in a while, and I loved it. And it's mainly because that it was stuck on Netflix, and then it never had a physical media release, which is crazy. So like, it's one movie that got popular, but then over time, it just got completely buried, which is so weird to me, you know? Like, and what I would like to do instead of doing pop culture news, maybe we can discuss the new, maybe we could just like discuss like a little bit about the newly released films that have come out this weekend. Like, and I saw that TikTok of yours about you going to see Keeper and talking about like Oz Perkins's other films, and you've seen Keeper. Want to share your quick spoiler-free thoughts on that?
I'd be happy to. So I saw Keeper Thursday evening, and I tried really hard, like I do most movies. I tried really hard to like not watch any trailers if I could avoid it. Obviously, if I'm going to the theaters to watch another movie and it happens to be playing before, like during the trailers, it's unavoidable. But I tried really hard to just like not know anything at all. I think obviously with Long Legs being as divisive as it was, I truly believe that Osgood Perkins will forever be one of those directors where he's just going to have total split reactions. Some people are going to love Keeper and some people are going to really, really hate it. And I appreciate when directors find their not necessarily like niche, but just their tone and their vibe. And even if not everyone is on board, this movie is weird. It's a weird horror movie. It's really tense, and I think the acting from Tatiana Maslany is amazing, and it also doesn't fully outright explain how the ending is possible or how it works, I guess, without spoiling. So I like that you have to kind of fill in those blanks yourself. And I don't know. I like what Osgood Perkins is doing, even if I'm not like, oh, it's a 5-star movie. I ended up giving it 3.5 stars because I did have a good time with it. So I'll be interested to see like what the general public thinks about it once more and more people start watching it. So we'll see.
I'm not like I'm not gonna see Keeper until Monday, so I'm excited to see what I think about it. Hopefully I'll like it better than the monkey, and I think like you were one of those people that liked it, right? That you liked
I
the monkey.
did. Yeah, I think I also gave Monkey 3.5 stars because I really enjoyed how silly goofy that movie was. And I think that Osgood Perkins just will like pick a tone and he'll just like go full force in that space, I guess. And so yeah, I'm interested to see what you think about Keeper. That's a good pick.
Yeah, for sure. And I wasn't particularly like too big on the monkey because I couldn't really be on the wavelength of what the tone of the monkey was because
Yeah,
yeah, I
it's like
understand.
funky.
I mean, yeah, like I understand that it's going for like an artsy like Final Destination approach, but like also like if you're gonna be like an artsy family drama and also like a goofy movie, like you gotta like try to balance it out, but also like you're also kind of sacrificing the type of story that it's trying to tell because it wants to be a an engaging like father-son story, but then like you gotta worry about this like mysterious monkey toy that is somehow causing a bunch of like bizarre mysterious deaths and all that, and it's also a movie about like Oz like contending with the fact that he lost both of his parents at a very young age, and then you have like and it's I don't know, like it's juggling so many things that like
It kind
that
of
I
gets
couldn't
lost in
exist.
the sauce a bit. It's hard to take like fully seriously, and yeah.
I do like Theo James's like line delivery in that movie when he says, "We gotta make like eggs and scramble."
He did a really good job with the two d very distinct characters that he was playing as the twins. So I think I said in my TikTok, I was like, if there's twins in a movie, like one actor's playing two different characters, it already gets brownie points because I'm just like fascinated
And this
by
year alone, like we're having like so many movies with
the
dual performances.
Renaissance. Yes.
Like literally in Predator Badlands, we have two Elle Fannings, and then technically in Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, we have two Mia Goths, but they both don't interact because earlier in the film, like Mia Goth plays like Victor's mother, and then she's seen again playing Elizabeth. Like it's so interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And anyways, let's look. And but I did well I did not see Keeper this weekend, or at least like I'm not really going to yet, like I'm not seeing it till Monday. I did see Edgar Wright's The Running Man, since that it was the one movie that I was looking forward to all year,
Yeah, how do you
because
feel about it?
okay, so since I've been a teenager, I have been an admirer of Edgar Wright's work since I originally had a passion for, you know, making movies, or at least like grew a passion for movies at that age. And, you know, like Shaun of the Dead, like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, like, you know, were part of my rising passion for movies, and then later on like Scott Pilgrim, and also like Baby Driver came out in 2017, which I still love, by the way. I revisited Baby Driver, it still rules in my personal opinion. And while I think Last Night in Soho is absolute like garbage, and which is basically him trying to like, you know, make a horror movie. Obviously he failed at that because it wasn't even that scary. I was really excited for Running Man because this seemed like a movie that seemed that it was gonna have his style all over it. It was gonna be action-packed, and it was gonna have like a lot of like and it was gonna have some of his sense of humor in the movie. Boy, was I wrong. Because when I saw Running Man, none of his style was in that movie. And I just had a and I just felt like Hideo Kojima just like watching that movie, and I'm just like, Jesus, dude, like what the hell is happening? You know? And it's like it's like I'm just so confused about what happened to Edgar Wright, you know? Because like his movies, if you've ever seen an Edgar Wright movie, like I think we both discussed that, like we both seen Shaun of the Dead, and if you remember, like his movies have like a certain like snappy editing style and sense of humor that like blends with the sub genre that he's going for. Shaun of the Dead, it's a horror comedy. Hot Fuzz, it's an action comedy. The World's End, it's a sci-fi comedy. Scott Pilgrim, it's a mashup of a bunch of like pop culture geek things, and then you have Last Night, and then you have Baby Driver, which is a heist movie, also kind of a comedy. But actually, was Baby Driver funny? I don't think it was that funny, but it was entertaining. Like it had a lot of good action, is what I'm getting at. So Edgar's great at directing action, and then I see The Running Man. It's like, and then I see Running Man, and it's the most like generic action movie I think I'll probably ever see like this decade, you know? Like you don't just like get like a big budget movie, do a lot of like these big like come up with a lot of these big stunts that are shown off in the trailers, and then you give us nothing. Like it's like I was looking at air. Like it's I don't know. I'm just
Wow.
frustrated.
Yeah. Have you seen the original?
Have I seen the original Running Man from 1987? Yes, I have, and I thought it was fine. You know, it's not exactly like the book, and which is what the Glenn Powell version was going for. It was going for more of an accurate book adaptation rather than concerning itself with, oh, okay, like let's make an Edgar Wright like Glenn Powell movie that is also an adaptation of The Running Man. No, like it was more concerned with being a Stephen it was more concerned with itself with being a Stephen King adaptation, which isn't a bad thing, obviously. You know, like people that are like, you know, King loyalists or people that love his work, they'll probably appreciate this. Meanwhile, as someone who was, you know, kind of disappointed with Wright's trajectory, I just like I don't know, it was like I just like it was very disappointing to me. I don't know, like it's
Yeah, what did you end
okay.
up giving it, like rating wise?
2.5.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like the general audience is liking it, but do you think that's
Yeah.
just because they're like, oh, it's a fun action movie?
Yeah, I think they like it because that like they'll get like a fun experience out of it. People love Glenn Powell, you know, there's no
Yeah.
denying that like he is a charismatic, you know, actor, you know, and the cast was like definitely appealing. Oh, was definitely the appealing aspect about the movie. I mean, like Coleman Domingo looked like he was having fun in this movie, you know, like. And he really was. And so was Katie O'Brien with the little amount of screen time that she had. Not to like spoil, but like screen time is very limited. But, and it's also that, and it's also that like maybe people that are like enjoying or like liking this movie haven't probably seen enough Edgar Wright, you know, like it's not to, like not to doubt like anyone who not to say that oh people like this movie because they never seen an Edgar Wright movie. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that like maybe they're just not thinking about like, you know, Wright's signature style when they're seeing it, that they're just gonna go see a fun action movie, you know?
Yeah, they're not seeing it within the whole catalog.
And meanwhile, I've seen all seven of his movies. So
Yeah.
yeah, and listen, if And listen, if that Barbarella Sydney Sweeney movie that he's doing like ever happens, it's probably just going to be another generic movie of his. But not to put Edgar in a box, I would really love for him to work with Simon Pegg again, because
Yeah.
part of the magic of Simon Pegg, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End was because Simon co-wrote the screenplays, and also Nick Frost was also part of that mix to be the co-star. So, like, I don't know. I just want to like have that type of like comedic magic that both Simon and Edgar had, but
Yeah.
not to necessarily like have Simon star in his movies like the good old days, you know, like from because like the last because The World's End came out in 2013. That's almost like a decade ago. So I imagine that people have moved on from that. So not necessarily Simon would star in those movies, but like maybe another like young British like comedic talent would star in like a movie like that, you know? I'm just spitballing here, but yeah.
Yeah. What other movies came out this week or this weekend? Now You See Me 3 or whatever.
Yeah,
Now You
which
See
like
Me, Now You Don't.
I don't even know when I'm gonna see that because I'm not the biggest Now You See Me guy. Like I listen, I don't I get it, okay? Like I don't want to dogpile anyone who likes these movies. Like it's like it's like you know, they seem fun, they like the actors, people love magic, you know? Like
Yeah,
that's
magic is
I guess that's the
sexy.
whole
No
thing. Like, yeah, I
denying.
get it. You know, magic is cool. I've seen a magic show, but like if you're gonna make a movie about like heist, about magicians doing Michael Mann type heat heists, then like I don't know, just make it entertaining, make it interesting, give us interesting characters, which is what the first Now You See Me kind of lags. Like they give us this ragtag group of magicians that like you know rob banks when we don't get enough of the dynamic, and instead it's the Mark Ruffalo like French woman cop show. I don't know.
That's fair. I think the last time I saw Now You See Me, like the original, was probably like, I don't know, 8, 10 years ago. It was a long time ago, and I remember being like, this is fun.
Yeah, me too. Like as like an eighth grader, I was like, yeah, you know, this seems fun enough, you know. Like I had fun with this, and now I'm like 26, and now I'm 26 years old with no job, like thinking, this is fine, I guess. Actually, this isn't really good. And I haven't seen the sequel yet. And I haven't seen the sequel yet, so like who knows if I'm ever gonna see it. So who knows if I'm ever going to see the third movie? And also, the third movie is directed by Ruben Fleischer, and I'm not a fan of that guy either. So, and it's like I don't know. Like, yes, he did Zombieland. People like Zombieland, but I don't like Zombieland. Like, truly. And yes, like I was a teenager when I liked Zombieland. You know, I thought it was good at the time, but you know, I've grown up. I matured. And then I watch Zombieland right now, and I'm just like, this is like, what is this? Like, can we watch Shaun of the Dead instead? Like, this is like what? And I will say, Woody Harrelson, listen, Woody Harrelson, zombie cowboy, like he's cool, like cool guy, you know? Like, so it was just about him. I would enjoy that more, you know? I don't know, but anyways, enough about so I guess that's all that came out this weekend. I think.
I am pretty sure, yeah.
I mean, like J. Kelly is now in like limited theaters. We both haven't seen that yet. So, and yeah, that's pretty much it. Shall we get it to your next?
Let's
Yeah,
do
let's
it.
do it. Let's do it. So released in 2011, 2011. Wow, and directed by Godzilla X Kong, director Adam Wingard, starring Sharni V Vinson. Yeah, about a woman and her boyfriend who meets his family when all of a sudden a home invasion happens. Will she survive the night? Who knows, you know? And why we have picked Your Next is simply because it's simply because I like to think that like Your Next is like a kind of a Thanksgiving oriented movie, even though there is no Thanksgiving dinner going on, but it does involve a family gathering. And usually when there are like family gatherings of a bunch of like with a bunch of like family members, usually there's like, you know, tension within the family, whether it's like long time disagreements or like long time disagreements with siblings, whether it's or whether it's like or whether it's like the parents like not have like having a strained relationship with their children, there will always be these types of like tension filled family gatherings in these types of movies. And to make matters worse, a home invasion happens, you know? And like and we were both like talking about like the next time when you came back to Santa time of like what movie we should discuss, or at least like or at least like or at least what movies we should discuss next, since I sent you a lot sent you a not too long list of films that we should talk about next. But obviously, but Your Next and Ready or Not were like the top movies that we should talk about. And you and Ready or Not is one of your favorite movies, right? Like one of your favorite horror movies.
I
Oh,
really do love Ready or Not.
That we briefly discussed on the horror tier list episode. So we had a poll where on what we would discuss next, and it was either Your Next or Ready or Not. And Ready or Not may have won the poll, but honestly, I haven't seen Your Next in a while, and I wanted to revisit it and discuss it for this episode, you know? And we also do like love Your Next like, you know, dearly. You know, it's a very like solidly made like movie with a strong final girl, you know, character with a lot of agency. And so does Ready or Not. Ready or Not and Your Next are both similar to movies in a way. They both have a great final girl. They both take place at family gatherings, and they're both and interesting enough, they're both Canadian productions, I think.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
If I can, if, yeah, Ready or Not is for sure a is 100% a Canadian production, with Ready or Not, let me just see. Okay, production company Mythology Entertainment. I mean there are three Canadian actors in Ready or Not, so like I would say so I would say Ready or Not is like quasi is a quasi Canadian production. But the only difference between Ready or Not and Your Next is that Your Next doesn't involve a wedding, and there's no like deadly game, and there's not exactly like a deadly game where where a woman is being hunted for sport. But like what Aaron and Grace have in common is that like they're both pretty much like they both pretty much like got themselves involved with a rich family. So
Not knowing how dysfunctional and psycho some of the family members are.
And I mean like especially in Your Next when about halfway through you have this like you have this reveal as to why this random act of violence was committed like in this rich family's home, you know? And yeah, before we get into that, Get into the rest of the movie. Rachel, how did you hear about Your Next? Did you watch it recently? Did you watch it recently for the first time, or did you watch it like a while ago when you were first getting into horror, or?
Yeah, so I looked back on Letterboxd to see like, okay, when was the first time I logged it? And I'm pretty sure that I watched it before I started using Letterboxd. And so I was like, the first time I logged it was a rewatch. So I was like, okay, it was before then. It was before I probably watched it in like 2023. And I'm gonna give a shout out to my friend Maddie. My friend Maddie, she also loves horror movies as much as I do, and she got into them because her mom is super into them, and so she gets a lot of recommendations from her mom, and she recommends a lot of movies to me. And I had told her, I was like, I love home invasion movies, and she's like, you've got to watch Your Next. It's so good. And I'm pretty sure we watched it together. So it was a rewatch for her, but a first time for me, and it was so fun, like going through it. And maybe we'll talk about this more later, but like the discovery of it not just being just pure home invasion for no reason, but that there are other people involved and like catching on to that and making predictions before the actual reveals and stuff like that. Like I love doing that with her. So yeah, I think I've watched it 3 times now, and I literally just finished my third rewatch right before we jumped on here to
So that you can
record.
have it fresh
So
in your brain.
it is so fresh in my mind. So, what about you, Santi?
So I think I want to say I watched Your Next in like 2023, 2020. I think I watched this movie in like 2023 when I started using Letterboxd more, but I'm not sure. And I think I logged it, but I didn't like review it first. But then on second watch, like I did. But then on second watch, I did log it, and I remember like fully enjoying this movie. And second watch, like and then on second watch, like it felt like it was I don't know how to describe it. Like on second watch, it was like there were a lot of like new things to appreciate about it. It's like a it's the indie vibe of the film. It's the handheld like camera techniques, and it's also the dark comedic tone in this movie. And like this is another similarity between this and Ready or Not. It's that like it's like they're both comedies in a way. I mean, Ready or Not is a full-blown horror comedy, whereas with Your Next, it's like it
There are
has
moments.
like there are there are some like darkly funny moments in this movie that like that we will get into, but I still like remembered like the ending of Your Next before my second watch, but like but there were a lot of like new things that I've like appreciated more from this movie, So yeah. It also like for a movie from 2011 still looks good now, it still holds up,
I'm really surprised by that because it's so easy to watch something for the first time and just be immersed in the plot and not really pay a whole lot of attention to the cinematography or like the just like how good it looks. But this is like pretty standard for the time. It's not a perfect like visual movie, but that's part of the that that's part of why they made it the way that they did, is so that it looks like chaotic and just like tense.
And you would honestly think that this would be like Adam Wingard's like, director debut before he like kind of got into like franchise filmmaking. But he directed like a few shorts beforehand, and he directed like some small budget indie films that aren't exactly well known. But like with Your Next being that big is mainly because that like it was part of like the Midnight Madness lineup from Toronto Film Festival like in 2010, 2011 or something like that. Actually, no. A actually definitely in 2010. Because usually when there is a rollout like going because usually a when something comes out of TIFF, like it usually doesn't come out for like another few months within the next year. So yeah, and yeah, like it became such a crowd pleaser that like Lionsgate, picked it up, and boom, like Wingard kind of became like this like indie horror film darling until he started until going down the until like going down the franchise filmmaking like pipeline, which he will get out of because we are getting a new upcoming film from him that is a horror thriller, finally, with Adria Adrona starting. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
Okay, so I
Let's
so
see.
the name of the film is escaping me. It's going to be called Onslaught, and it has
Ooh.
Adria Adrona, Dan Stevens, previously starred in The Guest, which you haven't seen yet. Like, I
No, I
please
haven't.
watch The Guest. It's such a good movie. Alex Pereira, Michael Bean, frequent like James Cameron character actor, collaborator Michael Bean, Drew Starkey.
Wow.
Like Drew Starkey, like fresh off the Queer fame, Rebecca Hall, and Jacob Scipio and Reginald Vell Johnson, who a lot of like 80s action aficionados will know him as Sergeant Al Powell from Die Hard.
He was also in Ghostbusters, I
Oh, was
guess.
he?
Yes.
What did he play?
Let's see.
Correct. Oh, he was a corrections officer.
Oh yeah. I'm
No.
literally looking through Letterboxd right now as you're going through this. I'm
I'm
like,
on
oh my gosh.
Wikipedia, and it's from A24, so it's not like a big Hollywood studio
Okay.
like distributing it. So
Of course, Dan Stevens is playing a German scientist. I'm like, that's so funny.
I oh. Yeah, he's just credited as German
That's
scientist.
so funny because like you saw Cuckoo, right?
I did see Cuckoo. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, but that's so funny because like,
Hunter Schafer was good in it though,
yeah, she was. I
Yeah.
love her.
So
Okay.
so 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 anyways, like to get back on track with your next, we should get into IMDb facts.
Yeah.
I only put down three,
Okay.
and so the first one I put down is that like an earlier draft of the script had a dog being killed.
Yeah.
So basically this is one of those movies where it doesn't appear on doesthedogdie.com.
My gosh. Yeah. I guess like, did you see the trivia note that like elaborated on that
Yeah.
opening part?
Yeah. Like I think they either filmed the scene or like they wrote or in the first draft of the script that like an old man was like living at this cabin, his dog went outside and he discovers that like his dog is killed or
Yeah,
something.
it got like decapitated. But then
Yeah.
the producers were like, rewrite
No,
it.
no, no, no. Instead, like let's have a scene of the neighbors being killed instead.
Yeah. But it's so interesting too, because you know how there's that part with Crispin and Aaron about like, oh yeah, like, or at least his brother Drake, like talking to his wife Kelly of like, I wonder how they met. Yeah, it's probably one of his students or like a current student, like making fun of that when like the
Yeah.
neighbors who die in the opening scene, it's like Eric left his wife for a student, like a college student. And
Yeah.
it's just funny. It's like another instance of like the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So like it just goes to show that like maybe it just goes to show that like yes, it is bad karma for a college professor to date their former student.
Multiple repercussions, not just losing a job.
No, not just losing a job, but it's like But it's you getting stabbed in the face with the screwdriver.
So just think about that before you.
Exactly. Okay, so second fact I have put down is Adam Wing is that Adam Wingard had a bad toothache while filming the movie. Just
Real
imagine,
news.
just imagine that, like, filming a horror movie, and you're just like, ah, my tooth hurts. But guys, listen, my tooth. Even though I have a bad toothache, we gotta finish this movie now.
So funny.
Yeah, and like I can't really like think of like other instances where like where a director like wasn't like serious pain while making a movie, you know? Like I'm not sure. Rachel, can you think of any or
No, not at all. I
damn,
when I
okay.
saw when I saw that trivia, I was like, okay. Like
Hey,
I think
I'm gonna look it up right now. Directors being in pain while filming.
I feel like anytime you have
No,
like
not pain, pain.
any dental like things that you experience, like if it is a toothache or literally anything, I feel like I always forget what it feels like to not have that pain in my mouth, you know? And so it's like when you think about someone having a toothache on set, it's like, oh, okay, that doesn't sound as bad. But when you're actually experiencing it, it's like, I'm never gonna go back to normal ever again. I'm gonna feel this way forever. I feel like
Yeah.
that must be so, that must have been so annoying, like going
Yeah.
through that. But thankfully, it didn't take very long to shoot the whole movie, so.
Yeah. And it's again, like, I think this, like, what took like 10 days to shoot the movie since it was like an indie production?
Yeah, it said it was shot in 26 days.
Yeah.
So it's like,
26. Okay. So not more than 10, 26. Yeah, like I couldn't find anything about another case of a director like experiencing pain while filming. So like I guess Wingard is a rare case of that. I don't know. Like I don't know. Like anyone listening to this podcast, let me know, you know? And third fact I had written down. And it's kind of just me jumping around in the film. It's kind of like a this is kind of like a pretty like big jump to the film, but also really heartbreaking fact. It was Felix's suggestion to make a run for it after the initial shooting, and his suggestion that Amy run full speed out of the house. Since he knew about the piano wire, it means he guided her to her death. And it's like, dude, like you basically guided your sister to die. Like that would imagine having that like on your conscience. It's like so crazy that you did that to her, bro.
Yeah, there's like different levels of like depravity between the two brothers. And it's interesting because it's like how we talked about a little bit earlier of like you watch it for the first time, but then like watching it for a second time and noticing little things. When you know who's involved, every little interaction that they have with other members of the family, you're like, oh, like, especially with this fact of like him being like, oh, run at full speed and we'll open the door at the last second because they won't expect you coming. And when you watch that for the first time, I hear that, you're like, that's such a good idea. But then when you know that the piano wire is right on the other side of the door, when he suggests that, it's like so much more insane because it's like masked to think that's a great idea, but really it's like so evil.
Yeah. This is also the second movie where like Amy Simons is like is unexpectedly killed off, and because like if you remember she'd appeared in Alien Covenant, and it's that scene like where the ship blows up, and it's either like she was in the ship when it happened or she was like on fire like screaming when she got out of it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, One of the IMDb facts that I took note of was the actress who plays Amy, her real name is also Amy. She worked on this movie for only 3 days because she was killed off so early. It's like she only needed to be there for those specific scenes and then she was done. I'm like, damn.
And I think she also directed a film called She Dies Tomorrow. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't.
It's been on my watch list for a while, and she also played she was also the wife in the Pet Sematary remake. Also appeared in The Sacrament, which I also haven't seen.
I saw The Sacrament recently, and you know what's interesting
That's
is
right, yeah.
that what's his name? Joe Swanberg
Yeah, Joe Swanberg, yeah.
and oh gosh, where am I? AJ Bowen were both in that movie as well, and they play like documentary filmmakers together.
That's interesting. And and Joe
And it was directed
Swanberg
by
is
Ty
like
West.
that's interesting. And like this is where like this is kind of like the next like point in the conversation I want to make. It's that like Joe Swanberg, also a respectable director in his own right, that has also made like a bunch of like indie projects, also not well known, or like at least like his one of his most like well-received films is a movie called what's it called? Win Next or something. What's it
Oh,
called?
win it all.
Win It All. Yes. His most critically well-received film is called Win It All, which starred Jake Johnson as a small-time gambler. And it's a movie that is also on my watch list. And it's like you said, like Ty West, like directed The Sacrament, also had Joe Swanberg in it. Ty West is literally the first person that's killed off like in Your Next because like he
I
played the
love
boyfriend of
it.
Amy Simons.
I loved that choice.
It's such a great choice because this Tarika like only gets like minimal screen time, and in 2011 you probably had no idea who Ty West was, and when now you do and now like 15 years later when you watch this movie it's like, oh wait, that's Ty West, like
Yeah, and because he's not in it for very long at all, it feels like a little cameo. It's like, that's Ty West. And then he dies, and you're like, oh. And then you literally never see him again. So it feels like a little treat. But at the time of this coming out, he had already directed The House of the Devil that AJ Bowen was also in.
Oh right, yeah,
So it's
AJ
just
Bowen,
like, it.
who plays Crispin, yeah.
Yes. That's funny that, like, these three or four guys are they do a lot of projects together, which I you know that happens with every director. Every director always has the select few that they work with again and again and again. But it's fun to see even like with the indie stuff that that's still the case.
For sure.
One of the last IMDb facts that I made note of is that Simon Barrett, who plays the Tiger Mask killer, is also the movie's screenwriter, which I thought was
Yeah, that's
fun.
right. Yeah, like he also co-written the script. What else has Simon Barrett done? You can look while I do my own research.
Yes.
What else?
He also wrote, or at least like was a co-writer in Blair Witch,
Oh, I haven't seen Blair Witch.
2016,
Because like why? Because
VHS.
why the hell would you make a Blair Witch Project reboot? Like that's silly.
VHS 2, Asriel.
Wait, what do you mean he co-wrote Godzilla the New Empire? God,
That's
like
so funny.
it's
The
Godzilla again.
guest.
I guess he did. I guess like Adam like asked Simon for a favor to like help him out with the script. Also co-wrote The Guest. So he's like co-written like some of his work. And like another director work plug here, Joe Swanberg also directed a segment in the first VHS, if you've ever seen
Yeah.
any of the VHS films.
Yeah, I've seen the first and the second one and VHS Beyond.
Oh,
Yeah.
I still haven't seen all of them because because like it does sound intimidating to watch a bunch of like, anthology horror films, and like maybe I'll like some of the VHS films, and I heard that like the last two weren't that great, so we'll see. We'll see,
Yeah.
But yeah, like since that we kind of are jumping around like in this movie, let's get right let's continue right into this. I do like that like someone I feel like some I like it's like a, I've said this like time and time again. I do love like the indie like shaky cam, shaky like not shaky cam, but like handheld vibe. Your next like it just seems like you're watching like actual people kind of like go through this home invasion, and then unexpectedly like you have this like and then unexpectedly you have this Australian woman who just like randomly like knows what to do like during a home invasion, and you get a bit of backstory on that, and you're and immediately like you're and immediately you're completely won over by Erin, because like she's a very smart woman who like knows how to defend herself, which something that Crispin doesn't know about, because from what I've gathered with behind the reasoning as to why she hasn't shared that, it's mainly because that like Crispin wouldn't know what to think of it, that like she didn't really want to scare him,
Yeah.
that there would be tension in the relationship. Like,
Yeah,
so
it's
like what do you
like,
think? Like, do you agree that about that or
yeah, because I feel like it, if you're dating someone and maybe you haven't been dating for that long, I don't know if in the movie they clarify like how long they've been together, but when she does reveal to Z that she's, well, Z's like, where'd you learn all this stuff? And she's like, I
fuck kind of
my
name
family's
is
really
Z?
weird. I
Like,
grew up on a survivalist compound because my dad thought that the like resources are gonna run out and the world's gonna end. Like, that's a really weird thing to just like tell your partner if you haven't been together for very long, because
yeah.
it's very like conspiracy
'Cause I think they were
theory
together for like what,
coded.
6 months, right? Or
I don't remember if they say in the movie how long they've
I
been
don't think so
together,
either,
but
because it seems like they've recently gotten together, or at least like they've been together for a while, or at least like not too long, So
yeah, if you think about her being in her final year for her master's and she used to be his TA, but they like she stopped being his TA because they had feelings for each other and started dating. They couldn't have been dating for longer than like a year.
right,
So
yes.
they've probably been dating for a year. So I feel like, yeah, maybe telling your partner that you grew up on a survivalist compound would be like something that you tell them in like year two or year three.
Or especially when you've like grown up like near the outback, or at least have like lived near the outback, And it's like it is always like, and like I have like a but, and like I have like a couple of like friends from Australia, like one of them who has appeared on the podcast, has appeared on the podcast a few times, shout out Jack Siddle, great guy. It's like, how do you do it? Like Australia has some of the deadliest animals known to mankind. Like how do you do it? It just always makes me wonder, right? Like
There's like some extra like layer of toughness, and I don't know, I'm just like
guess Australians are just naturally built for this shit, I guess.
Yes. I'm like, I wouldn't last a day, but they're like, oh yeah, it's just like, the snakes and the spiders and all these like giant other things. Like, I couldn't do
You're like,
it.
how about this? Like, I feel like if I ever, visit Sydney, Australia, I think I would be fine, I
If
think
I'm in
so.
the
I like to think
city,
I'll be fine.
I have a huge fear of spiders, so I don't know if I would do well in Australia, but
No. Like, especially like if you're like if you're like go I think like I kind of studied like the Australian map. Like if you go anywhere like near the Gold Coast, or at least like Brisbane. I think like if you ever like go to Brisbane, you might be fine. But if you're in the Gold Coast, like
Then you're
beware, I guess.
fucked.
But but
Gotcha.
yeah. If you've ever seen Dangerous Animals, like you know what I'm talking
Yes.
about. Like those sharks are deadly, man. Ooby dooby, motherfucker. Anyways, so anyways, we were talking about Aaron like surviving a survive growing up in a survivalist compound. And I'm just also impressed with like Sharni Vincent's like performance in this movie, and I'm just wondering like where has she been? Like she should be booked and busy, but like
Right?
I completely but I completely understand why she has been kind of taking a step back from acting. She wants to pursue other things, which is totally okay. If she wants to do some re she wants to like take a gig in reality TV, go for it. If she wants to make a minor TV appearance, then all good, So I hope she's doing well. I hope Sharni's doing well.
Me too.
And I was looking at like Sharni's filmography, and I think the last thing that like she appeared in was on some Australian like reality show. I read her credit as Survivor Australia, but I don't know if it's Survivor. Wait, actually, it is Survivor Australia, but it's called Australian Survivor Heroes v Villains, and it was season 10.
Wait, she was on Survivor, but like the Australian version?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yep, but like she wasn't like a but like she did one competition and she ended up in 18th and she ended up in 17th place. So
Oh,
it was
bummer.
only eight
Okay.
episodes. Like so
Okay. I'm like, oh my gosh, so she's Aaron, but
Yeah, but not a lot of like Australians like know that. Well, I mean like not all of Australia like knows that she was in a horror movie, but for the cinephiles based in Australia, they know. So they know who she is.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, there was also this like one sound effect that like stood out to me, and it's when you have this like sound effect that kind of sounds like a home security alarm. And like everybody's panicking, everybody's like screaming and crying that they were just attacked, that oh my God, Ty West is dead, and like everybody's screaming, they don't know what to do. What's his name, Drake, he gets shot in the
Yeah.
back, like and for a guy named Drake, definitely Canadian, this is a Canadian movie, because Aubrey Graham like based in Canada, by the way, people who don't know, but yeah. And I kind of, and I also think that the score for this movie rocks, like I do like the score that goes like or
Yeah,
something
that
like that. How did it
song
go?
that
How did it
the
go?
song that plays over and over again on the record, or
I've
the
been looking for the magic.
yeah. So that was another thing on IMDb that I saw, the song that plays over and over again from the neighbor's house. It's called "Looking for Magic," by the Dwight Twilley Band. I don't know why that was a tongue twister.
Dwight
Dwight
Tilly.
Twilley Band, 1977. And yeah, it's the main song that plays throughout the film. And it's such a good one. I don't know why, but every time it resets again or like repeats, I don't know why, it just like builds on like the dread of like, when is this gonna end type thing. Like, it just feels like the
Oh.
survival aspect of it is ongoing. And it's so subtle, but it really does add a really great effect to the whole situation.
Yeah, like it's like these home invaders were, looking for the magic, I guess. I don't know. Trying to make a joke. That's trying to make sense. But something sad about Dwight Twilley is that he passed away like 2 years ago, only 72. Grew up in Tulsa. So he had a massive stroke while he was driving his car, and he ended up crashing into a tree.
Wow.
Bad way to go,
That
you
is
know?
sad.
Yeah,
Good
yeah.
music, though.
I mean, a lot of like great music legends have passed away peacefully. In the case of Dwight Twilley, like it wasn't so peaceful, I guess. Like it was like. It was like, yeah, like maybe he shouldn't have like been on the road that day, who knows, but yeah, things happen like that, I guess, but
Life happens.
anyways, so there was like and so so like so 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 to get into our favorite kills of this movie, besides the Ty West death, besides the piano wire death, I think the kill, I think the kill that has like defined, and I think the kill that has like stood out to me the most is when Aaron is in the basement and one of the like invaders is there, and there is like a camera set up. And the camera like has like a loud shutter speed with a flash, and I love how when Aaron kills the guy, like the blows match with the camera clicks. Like it's such a great like editing technique,
I just got full body chills because that scene is very tense. She's so smart. She goes down there with a plan. She immediately like knocks out the lights, and then like it's so genius because then it's like he can't see what's going on. She has full visibility because she can see him like coming towards her, and then just it's so good.
And then you have like a, and then you have like the one guy that goes like through the window, and he doesn't know that like the piece of wood with the nails like on it is there, and he steps his foot on it. He's like, "Fuck,
Yeah,
Jesus."
the best part about that is she did like two planks, and so she put one far out, so he like spotted the one that was far out but didn't realize that there was going to be one like right below the
Oh,
window.
I didn't even
And
clock
so yeah, so
that.
he like sees one, he like kind of scoffs like, haha, like I caught that, I'm not going to step on it, like dumb,
Yeah,
you're
I've seen this
dumb.
movie before. Like,
And then he actually still steps on one because there's two, and that's so good.
would you say that Your Next is like kind of a dark take on Home Alone without the Christmas stuff?
Yes. Oh, totally.
I mean, people would argue Silent Night, but Your Next is the better movie. No, not Violent Night. Sorry, Silent Night is the terrible John Woo movie with no dialogue. I meant Violent Night, but
Yeah, because there's a scene where the invaders are coming through the window and don't realize that there's something below them that they're gonna step
yeah.
on. There's also like stuff that's strung up that like once they open the door it'll come down and hit them, and yeah, that's a really good like connection because I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, another intrusive thought I had, and if you were to like place ornaments by a window in case like somebody like breaks into your home, if you step on an ornament with your bare feet, you're gonna get like bloody footprints like all over the floor, and you're gonna have a pair of bleeding feet. So like it's not gonna be like ow, it's not that you're gonna get an ow, like you're gonna be in excruciating pain if you step on a piece of like if you step on a piece of glass from a broken ornament. So yeah, and same thing with the rusty nail. Like if you get stepped on a nail, like you're gonna get an infection. Like,
least of his worries now, he did not survive.
no, he did not. Like, he wasn't gonna survive like a rustic nail anyway. Like,
Tetanus was bound to get him down the road. Some of the other kills that I think of are the bedroom scene with the mom, because she's
Yeah.
upstairs
Shout out to
hysterical
Barbara
about
Crampton. Like,
Barbara Crampton, love you, Reanimator.
yeah.
What else is she in?
This is like a, this is like her second like podcast appearance of Barbara Crampton when I talked about like Reanimator like or, like last month, you know?
Oh, she was also in Chopping Mall.
Oh, wait,
And
was
she,
she?
yes,
Was she
and
like the,
she,
was she one of the teenagers or?
yes.
Okay.
And then it says that she was also in Body Double. I haven't seen Body Double though.
I haven't seen Body Double either, but I love Brian De Palma. So
Yeah.
it's like, it's high on my list of like De Palma films to watch. So.
Yes. But yeah, so once Amy dies from the piano wire, mom is hysterical. They take her upstairs and leave her laying on the bed. And that shot where she's like laying on the bed, like beside herself, you know, when that hand comes out from underneath the bed
Yeah.
that like one of the killers was hiding under there, and then like slowly gets out and then is looming over her, and she turns and screams, and you know, they get her. That scene was the first time I watched it, pure dread. Like, I'm even getting goosebumps like thinking about it right now. When I rewatched
And
this
I
for
think
the
what's sad about her death is that like she was basically put in a very vulnerable and once thought safe place, which is a bedroom, like a master bedroom for her to like relax and try to decompress from what happened. And then all of a sudden, like you have one of the invaders that is already like hiding like under her bed. And I think she said earlier that like being hysterical, there's someone in this house. And then Crispin and Aaron arrive, and Crispin's asking like, hey, like why is mom like outside crying, you know?
Yeah, well,
And unfortunately she was right. There was someone in the house. Like
yes.
she wasn't being hysterical or crazy. Like,
Well, I don't know if we want to talk about this right now, but was there a moment in the movie where you caught on to Crispin and Felix being in on it?
I think it was when the dad dies that Felix just had this really concerning like look on his face.
Of like
Like he
apathy and
wasn't like,
disgust.
yeah, like he didn't have any apathy or a disgusting or hysterical look on his face because he was literally watching like his dad like having his throat slit. And
Yeah.
like, and it was literally when the invader like was standing next to him, and he turns to him and he goes like, "Did you really have to do that in front of me?" And like,
Yeah.
and I was like, and that was when I was like completely shocked by the twist, you know?
Yeah, because when his dad, like, he gets his throat slit, he, like, goes and, like, grabs towards Felix, and I think he touches his face with his bloody hand, and
Yeah.
he, like, backs up as if, like, oh, don't fucking touch me, like, you're gross, instead of having a
Yeah.
normal son reaction of being like, no, dad. He's just like, ew, like, he was grossed out by it and disgusted, which was crazy. But I think I'm not gonna pretend like I was able to fully predict both of them being a part of it. But the two moments that kind of raised a red flag in my mind, one was when at the very beginning, when the mom was like, there's someone in the house, please check it out. And the dad was walking around upstairs right before he goes to fully open that closet door. And Crispin is like, dad, and like fully interrupts him. I was like, that's funny timing that Crispin prevented his dad from looking in that closet where someone was
Oh.
hiding. I was like, that is sus. But I didn't at that moment think he's in on it. But I was like, that was weird. Okay. And then the other moment when after the initial shooting of the arrows and they're all freaking out and they're like, we need to call 911. And then they're like, we have no signal. And Felix immediately is like, oh, they're using a jammer. That's why
How would you
nothing's going through. You
know?
can buy that online for so cheap. And then I think Drake goes like, Felix, you fucking low life. I was
Yeah,
like, why
exactly.
would he immediately share that information? Like, even if he was a low life and he just like happened to know that or like help the situation, I was like, you're telling on yourself. So I was like, that is also sus.
And I think like if you were like a first time like viewer, when he says like, oh yeah, they're using a jammer, like you would assume that like he
That's just
knows like his shit
exposition.
about like technology or something like
Yes,
that.
yeah, it's like, oh, this is just exposition. Like, I'm maybe not like questioning it. But then the first time I watched it, I knew that Crispin was a part of it because when he left, there was a moment where I was like, why is he not back? And I was like, he's not back because he's in on it and he's saving himself. And so
Or
that's
he's
when I
dead,
knew.
or he could be dead, you know? Like,
Well, for some reason, I was like, he must be in on it because he just left and he hasn't come back to like help the situation at all. So I was like, I think that Crispin is fully in on it. I was surprised by Felix and Z because I didn't think that there was going to be multiple siblings that were a part of it. I just thought it would be Crispin. But I like the layers of that like both of them have this animosity towards their families of just like feeling like Drake and Amy are the favorites and that like
yeah.
Crispin and Felix receive all this flack from them and obviously want the money.
Yeah. And then ultimately, like Crispin, like becomes the sole heir, since that like he has pretty much been responsible for the deaths of all of his family members, including the in-laws, and you know, like for Crispin, like be having this. And for Crispin saying that like I was never the favorite, like now I'm the sole heir, like I could do like we can be together like with my family's with my parents' wealth, I want a life for you, and Darren's like no fuck that, like you put me through so much. And she doesn't say that, but like she just immediately kills him and she goes, well, why the fuck not? You know, like,
I love that response. But question really quick. So he's
yeah.
like, we'll have millions and everything. Like, we don't have to pay anyone. It's just ours. And like, you have a lot of student loans. So how would $500,000 help with that situation? You could quit your bartending job, like all this. Would
Yeah.
you accept only $500,000 if you knew that your psycho partner was getting multiple millions?
No.
Because
Absolutely not. No,
I'm
I
like,
wouldn't even.
that was kind of like a low ball offer. If you're getting millions and you're only offering half a million for your partner to essentially like not kill you or not turn you into the police, I feel like he could have offered much more than that.
Yeah, exactly. Like offer a million or something, you know?
At
Even
least
like
a million.
yeah, you know, like why do like what are you gonna do with the other half, man? Like you're gonna do you're gonna start your own Bitcoin or something or what? I mean, like I'm not sure about Bitcoin because they're not that rich, like they're not tech billionaires, but like I don't know. I don't know. But
One of the last death scenes that I want to call out is the blender scene,
of course, the
obviously.
blender scene. I love the blender
I love it
kill.
so much. There's just
Like,
like something so unexpected about it, but when it happened, I was like, this is awesome. This
yeah.
rocks.
And like another kill that is like that also like that that pretty much like bo that becomes borderline comedic is when Felix kills Drake and like.
Yeah.
At first, like he stabs him in the belly. He's like, he's in complete shock that like his brother just, you know, stabbed him. And Felix keeps, you know, stabbing him and stabbing it again. And he's like, why would you just die, man?
Yeah. Oh my God. And then he comes
Yes.
upstairs for the full reveal for Aaron to know that he's in on it. And he's like, if you just did your job correctly, wouldn't have to had just like killed my brother. Like, I didn't want to have to do that. Like, that was
Yeah.
your job. Oh.
Oh man. Oh man, yeah. And also like what kind of name is Z? You know? Like what the hell is this short for? Like I don't know. Like is it Zelda? Is it Zatanna, you know? Like the DC Comics character, Zatanna? Like
I feel like it must be just, she seems so like alt, you know, that she's like,
Yeah.
I'm gonna fully change my name to
She looks
something
like she listens to
random.
Deftones or something. Like, anyways, so we can all agree that like all of this is Crispin's fault, and you know, fuck Crispin, like fuck that guy, you know. It was like he was like a he was it's like you said, he was pretty much sus from the beginning when he like popped out of nowhere to like greet his dad in the house, like okay, like that's one way to greet your dad, you know. What if he has heart problems, man? Like, you know, like but yeah, anyways, let's get into let's get right into one last question that I want to ask. What do you think about the ending of this film?
I really like it.
Okay.
I like it for multiple reasons. One, I think sometimes it's frustrating in movies where everyone basically dies except the final girl, and then the police arrive, and there's like no suspicion of whether or not, like, who was actually the villain in that case. I really like that the police officer witnesses Aaron stabbing Crispin, because then in the police officer's mind, he's like, she's the perpetrator. I just watched her kill someone. So he
Yeah.
shoots her down. And so I'm like, that's logical. Like in real life,
Yeah.
if a police officer witnessed that, that is how that would go. But then we go from a logical ending to kind of like a dramatic irony ending, like kind of comical, where he's gonna go in through the front door, but we know and Aaron knows that there's an axe tied
Yeah.
up as soon as he opens the door that's gonna come swinging down on him, and it does. It's like, yeah, the ending is fun. And then I love the splatter where it's like, it's written in your, like, your next in blood, and
Yeah.
then that like fun music at the end hits. It's just like overall really satisfying, because it's, we still have our final girl, like she still is alive, because I think the cop just shot her down but didn't like shoot to kill.
Yeah.
And then
Because like he
the,
shot her like in the shoulder, which isn't
yeah,
exactly where your
not
major
fatal.
arteries are, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So I really enjoyed the ending. How did you feel about it?
I have also enjoyed I also really like the ending as well. I think it also, I think I do agree that like it does have like a sense of dramatic irony to it. Like it makes you like put you in a place of like, oh, like hash like has Aaron actually, you know, survived the night? Like what's gonna happen like when the police show up and think that like she's the perpetrator, that she did all this, when really it's a completely different story. I love that speculation, and I love that type of home invasion like slasher that we've got in this movie, you know? And like and I love that type of stuff. Like it plays against the tropes of the final girl, you know, coming out like unscathed, that it ends in something dark like that. Like I
Yes.
think it's interesting, you know?
I
Love when
totally
movies end
agree.
like that.
Yeah.
It's why I like the ending to Drag Me. It's why I like the ending to Drag Me to Hell. It's why, and while Ready or Not like does end in a way where Grace comes out, you know, completely unscathed, she survives the night, but also like the police also don't know what happened, because how the hell are you Because how the hell are you going to explain to police that, like, yeah, all of my in-laws just like exploded after they failed to kill me, you know?
So funny.
you know, in-laws.
In-laws. Yeah, Ready or Not, I guess, is kind of guilty of the like, you have to suspend your belief of like the cops being like, yeah, you were innocent the whole time. We're not gonna immediately be suspicious of you. Like, they are
Yeah,
kind of guilty of
exactly.
that, but I can forgive it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, which leaves me in a question of like, do I prefer the ending to Your Next, or do I prefer the ending to Ready or Not? I kind of prefer Ready or Not more. because it ends in a full circle way where like Grace is smoking a cigarette before she ties the knot, and then at the end she like smokes, she pops out a ciggy, before like after everything just happened,
The
so.
most needed cigarette in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I really like how in Ready or Not there you are asking yourself this question throughout the entire movie of is the lore of this game and this like family true? Or is it not? And so you're forced to ask yourself if you believe it or not the whole time. And at the end, like getting that answer and having it be like as campy and ridiculous and like hilarious as it
I
is
love how the
very
grandma just
rewarding.
like explodes after she raises her axe.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. Yeah. And it's hard to pick between Your Next or Ready or Not because they are, I mean, they're obviously different and I love them both for their own reasons. I had Your Next in my top four on Letterboxd for a long time. It's not there now because sometimes I swap things out
Oh yeah, same. Like I
through the
do my
months and
top four like all
stuff.
the time. I just changed
Yeah.
it now.
Yep, for the seasons and stuff and everything, but I just love, I don't know, there's so many things about Your Next that I love so dearly, and obviously there are things that I love about Ready or Not. I think I have to pick Your Next. But like it's the margin is like a sliver. Like it could change every day. I don't
It
know,
really
but
could. It honestly really could, depending on the day. But yeah, moving on to like one more scene to shout out. Really, really funny scene where Z just just wants to have sex with Felix, and she's like, "Let's do it next to your mom." It's like, no, what?
Yeah, she said like fuck me next to your dead mom and he's like this conversation's over and leaves and she like looks so like annoyed and then I think she takes the mom's wedding ring and I'm like what is going on here? This
She's
girl's
nuts, bro.
crazy. Your
She's
girlfriend's
nuts.
nuts.
It's like no, I don't want to have sex. It's like no, I don't want to have sex with you right now. Are you stupid?
Oh my God, yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to a couple of games here. Okay, we're gonna play a
Yay.
couple of this or that, right? So with the first game being like which final girl from the 2000 from horror films of the 2010s would you prefer?
Okay.
So, all right, Erin. So Erin or Sydney Prescott in Scream 4?
Oh my God.
Start you off with a puppy there.
I know you just threw the like okay. Gosh, I think I have to say Sydney Prescott
Okay.
in this case.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I definitely like the Sydney moment in Scream 4 where she like defibrillates Emma Roberts' head. But as much as I like her in Scream 4, I kind of gotta go with Scream 4 right now. I
Okay,
don't
yeah.
know. Erin or Tree in Happy Death Day?
Aaron.
Okay. Erin or Zoe in Escape Room, Taylor Russell's character?
Oh man, I unironically love Escape Room.
Yeah.
but I have to say Aaron.
Okay. Erin or Perdita Weeks in the As Above, So Below?
Ooh. Okay. I also love As Above, So Below.
I haven't seen it either. So like I have this like specifically for you. So
Okay. For all of the As Above, So Below truthers out there, I'm sorry, but I also have to pick Aaron here.
okay, Erin or Dana in Cabin in the Woods?
Aaron.
Okay, Erin or Laurie Strode in Halloween 2018?
I haven't seen Halloween 2018.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Really? I
Okay.
haven't seen the new trilogy, so
Oh,
I
right.
have to, I'll
Yes. Yeah.
abstain from this one, but I want to hear your
Okay.
answer.
Probably Aaron, because Jamie Lee Curtis is on my shit list right now. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just like I just can't forgive a celebrity for mourning Charlie Kirk. I can't do it. But next up, Aaron or Mia in Evil Dead 2013.
Ooh. There's a certain grit to Mia that I really love.
Yeah, okay.
Oh man. I'm gonna say Mia only because of the added layer of absurdity and extra blood and all that. That ending scene is like so delicious.
Okay. All right. Fair. Next up, we have, all right, last two, Aaron or Adelaide in Jordan Peele's Us.
Oh my God. These are such tough ones for some reason. I'm gonna say Adelaide
Yeah.
because of the last moment twist.
Yeah. I also prefer Adelaide as well. Like not just because of like Lupita Nyong'o's performance, but it's also like the ending scene where
That very last moment,
yeah.
that look. Oh, I yeah,
And it makes
that's
you
sorry.
look at like the entire movie like in a completely different way now. It's like
Yeah, you rethink
genius
literally
ending.
everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Aaron or okay, last one. Also a toughie for you
Okay.
that you're probably gonna have trouble with. Aaron or Grace.
I knew this was
Yeah.
coming.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think because I love Erin so much, and obviously I've picked her a lot with the other movies. I love Grace. Like Samara Weaving in Ready
Yeah.
or Not, her screams, like
Yeah.
her, the way that she approaches the whole situation. Obviously, she doesn't have the same level of background of like survivalist knowledge and all of that, but still the way that she like navigates the situation with the limited experience that she has. I think that she like fucking, she's an awesome final girl too. I'm gonna go Grace.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, like I'm also stuck between Grace and Aaron as well.
It's
Like
so hard to choose.
they're both badasses. Like what can you do? But yeah, all right. And that's the end of that game. Next up we have next up on the this or that. Next up we have a second round of this or that. We have like which horror film from 2011 from the 2010s do you prefer? You're Next or 11-11-11, if you've ever heard of it.
I don't think I've heard of 11-11-11.
I have it was during a time like in middle school where like oh yeah I've like my parents had let me watch horror movies since I was 3 years old, and I was like okay.
Nice.
And I remembered like hearing about it from some people talking about it. I've never seen it, but I personally I it's Your Next.
Okay.
Your Next or Grave Encounters.
Ooh, Grave Encounters is really fun.
Yeah, I like Grave. Yeah, I like Grave
I
Encounters.
like it. I think I prefer Your Next, though.
Okay. You're Next or The Innkeepers?
I just watched The Innkeepers like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
Oh my God. Sarah Paxton was so young in that movie. I'm
Ooh.
gonna say you're next.
Okay. You're Next or The Thing? I'm talking about the prequel.
Ooh. I don't, this is a side note. I don't think that the thing needed a prequel, so the
Me
existence of
neither. Why do we need an origin about
the existence of the movie is unnecessary, so I'm gonna say you're next.
fair. Yeah. Justice for Mary Elizabeth Winstead. You're Next or Fright Night, the remake with Anton Yelchin.
Oh, I have only seen the original Fright Night,
Okay.
so I'm gonna abstain, but you should answer this one.
I pick your next because, like, I also haven't seen
Oh,
it.
that's funny.
Your next are Paranormal Activity 3.
Oh, I do like Paranormal Activity 3 out of all of them, because them as young kids was fun, and the oscillating fan scene was fun too, or like that shtick, I guess. But I still prefer Your Next.
All right. Your next are Shark Night.
I've not seen that.
Me neither. Your next it is. So,
Oh,
your next or Cabin in the Woods?
shit. Okay. This is a tough one
Yeah.
because Cabin in the Woods is so fun.
It is.
I
Yeah. Yeah.
obviously picked Aaron when we were doing the final girl toss up,
Yeah.
but oh God, Cabin in the Woods is so fun. I might go Cabin in the Woods on this,
All
honestly.
right, great.
Little toss up.
All right. Your next or Scream 4, last one.
Ooh, Scream 4 is so fun. I'm gonna go Scream 4.
Okay, all right. You're your first. Scream 4 is better than your next. All right, and all right, with both games concluded, let's talk about, like, our five. Let's talk, like, I was going through, like, a list of home invasion films, like, on, like, on a random list on Letterboxd, and like, when I put on the outline, oh, like, let's pick five best home invasion films. I feel like I haven't seen enough. You know? Like, it's Your Next, it's The Strangers, and Hush, probably?
Yes.
Yeah,
Okay,
Hush.
so
Like, I've seen Hush, yeah.
I have a little list here. I did not include Your Next on there just because I wanted
Yeah.
to shout out five other home invasion movies that
Okay.
I really enjoy, or I think are depraved or insane in some kind of way, because I do really love home invasion movies. It's a subgenre that is near and dear to my heart because it is like my top fear, because it is so realistic, like it could happen to anyone. And so these are in no particular order, but the five that I wanted to shout out are Hush from 2016, directed by Mike Flanagan. Really good movie. I also shout out The Strangers from 2008, directed by Brian Bertino. And then the third one, Inside, the French horror film from 2007, directed by Julianne Moore and Alexandre Bustillo. That one is a tough watch. It is gory. It is insane. There's an American remake too. Not as good. Of course, they changed the ending, but Inside is a good one. Funny Games, 1997, directed by Michael Haneke. I think that's how you say his last
I
name.
still need to watch Funny Games. Ugh, man.
That one is like so jarring. It
Yeah.
that one is like very creepy to watch. Because they kind of flip the horror movie tropes and stick like on its head, kind of like it's
Yeah.
a inverted expectations and stuff like that. And then the last one I'm going to shout out is Incident in a Ghostland from 2018, directed by Pascal Lauger.
Oh,
I don't
right,
know if
yeah,
that's
like,
his
same
last.
director of Martyrs.
Yes.
I've seen Ghostland, yeah.
Yes, Incident in a Ghostland
It's
will
not
fuck you up. It is not a watch for the weary. So,
it's not as good as
and
Martyrs, though.
yes, Martyrs is obviously very divisive, but is
Who's in Ghostland? Amelia Jones, right? Yeah.
I don't recall,
Yeah,
but yeah. So if
Amelia
anyone
Jones, Taylor
does,
Hickson, Crystal Reed.
if
Yeah.
anyone does want to watch Incident in a Ghostland, I would say proceed with caution and trigger warning
Yeah.
for essay. But all of those are really like either depraved in some kind of way or like ones that stick with me when I think about home invasion movies. So wanted to shout all those out.
Yeah, so like let this like this leads me to my this leads me to my question, like what's more gruesome, Martyrs or Inside?
Oh man. I think they're both very hard to watch.
Okay, fair.
If you're, I don't, Santi, have you seen Inside?
I have not. I have seen
Okay.
Martyrs finally. Yeah, it was indeed a
Okay.
tough watch, but it is a
Okay.
very effective, like grisly French horror thriller that is definitely not for the weak.
Yeah, no,
So.
I think the question that they kind of pose at the end is why people return to it because it is like so existential. But anyways, Inside, if anyone listening is unfamiliar, Inside, French horror movie, it's obviously a home invasion, but the person in the home is pregnant and lives alone. And so there's an element of, you know, pregnancy. You can kind of fill in the blanks of like how that possibly goes. But there's like twists in it and stuff like that where, you know, it's shocking. I want people to watch it, but just proceed with caution because French horror movies tend to be really, really extreme or, you know, just they
Yeah, what's
take
with the
things an
what's up with the
extra mile
French,
that we
huh? Like,
don't.
why do they make like disturbing shit, huh?
There's
Like,
something wrong with French
I
people.
literally, there's something wrong with them. Like,
Yeah, so I think because of the added element of pregnancy, like Inside might be a harder watch in my
okay,
opinion.
all right,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah, so as far as the like home invasion films, I want to shout out. I'm gonna shout out David Fincher's Panic Room. Not a horror movie, but it is like a home invasion film. Really good movie. You know, I do like Panic Room a lot. Us is technically a home invasion
It
film, sort of.
is, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Joe. I want peanuts.
Oh my God.
Hard Candy, also home invasion. Kind of justifiably so a little bit. Then we have the movie Fear with Mark Wahlberg has like a home invasion sequence at the end. And what else? There's also the sci-fi film No One Will Save You, that came
Yes.
out on Hulu a couple years ago. Thought it was very good
Yeah,
at the
that was a fun
time.
one.
Yeah, and I wish I could say Funny Games. I just haven't seen Funny Games. Like I really like one of my goals is to like get through like Michael Haneke's like filmography. Like literally the only movie I've seen from him is The Piano Teacher. Like that's it, you know.
Yeah, I think he also did, what is it, like Benny's Video? That's on my watch list.
Yeah, and I think like and yeah, I think that about does it for this discussion on
Oh, should we
your
close out and give our like star ranking for
yeah, for
your
sure.
next?
We both have your next at a 4.5, right?
We do.
You do,
And I
yeah.
gave it a heart. The hearts that I give out on Letterboxd are very rare, I would
Yeah.
say. So this one has a heart.
Yeah, I feel like I always like give my movies like, you know, hearts, you know, because
Give it some love. Yeah.
I just want to show some love, you know? Like, wait, do you follow me back on LB or
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I do.
you do? You do? Okay, because
I hope I
not
do.
to call you out or anything, but like but I feel like
Hold on.
But I feel like I haven't seen you like liked my reviews though. Like where are you at? Like
Oh, I don't interact a whole lot on
that's
Letterboxd for the
okay.
most
Yeah.
part. Let's see. Where are you?
I'm Straw Hat Santy. My current profile is Ryan Gosling and Blade Runner.
I'm pulling it
Yeah.
up. Shut up. Oh my God, Santi, I don't follow you.
Really? Okay. Damn.
Now I do.
Now you do.
That's
Now you do. Hell
insane.
yeah.
Oh my gosh. That surprises me a lot.
There you go. And we both have Fantastic Mr. Fox, like, as our favorites.
Yes,
Cool.
sir.
Yeah. I have yet to do my yearly rewatch of that movie, one of my favorite films of all time. I have the criterion of it, so I'm gonna pop that in soon. So
Yes, tis the season.
tis the fucking season of Mr. Fox, man. Like, yeah. Anyways, final thoughts on your next?
Overall, really good movie. Highly recommend people watch it. Goated final girl, as you guys can tell from the final girl game that we played.
Yes.
Yeah, those are my thoughts.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, great. To end this episode, you can find our socials like in the link like in the description. Next episode, I don't know what I'm gonna talk about next. Definitely either like another Thanksgiving or family like thriller type subgenre film that I'm probably gonna talk about soon. Definitely a Christmas movie afterwards, and then best of 2020 and then definitely best of 2025 episodes coming. And also pre-Oscars and Oscars episodes coming soon as well. So
Woohoo.
give you a taste of what's coming. So
Yes.
yeah. So yeah, anyways, Rach, I want to thank you again for hopping on a Santy Time. We'll definitely do this again soon, I
Yes.
hope.
Thank you for
So
having me again.
yeah. So anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. I'll see you guys next time.